This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
But in one particular place in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah talks about tests that are difficult, meaning not the tests of good, but the tests of bad. When you go through a difficult situation, or people are causing you harm, or you're going through duress, then that's a very difficult kind of test, and it's at those points that a lot of people lose their faith. So Allah Azza wa Jal gave a passage to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at an occasion. This was later on in the Meccan period, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already preaching the message of Islam for nearly a decade now, and things had escalated. So not only were the Muslims being made fun of, or they were being ridiculed or pushed away, or they were kicked out of their families and things like that, or economically boycotted, things took the next step. Now Muslims were being tortured. So one such Muslim was Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anhu, who they grabbed him, the mushrikun grabbed him, and they took coal, and they heated coal on the ground. And then they forced him to lie down on it, on his back, and then they stood on him. So his back kept on burning, and he kept screaming, and they wouldn't get off of him. And until his entire back just melted off. And he was completely like traumatized and burnt. And in that state, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he cried, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, we're the ones that have the truth. Why is Allah letting this happen to us? Why, if you're doing the right thing, why should bad things happen to you, right? And these are the best people. They're the ones that are supporting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if they're not just doing some random good deed, they're doing the best of all deeds." And yet these terrible things are happening to them. Now this is an important question, because a lot of people say, "I'm trying to do the right thing, then why are bad things happening to me?" Right? And before we ask ourselves that question, why is it happening to me? You and I have to remind ourselves that there were people that came before us that were much better than us. Prophets. People that supported prophets. And those prophets themselves and the people who supported them went through much more difficult things than we'll ever go through. That's a reality. Allah put them through it. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was publicly humiliated constantly for over a decade. Then there was attempts made at his life. His own family used to abuse him every single day, and that's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he had to escape from his own home that he loves to death. He has to escape from it because they're trying to kill him. So it's his entire life. Actually, one way of looking at it is his entire life sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a life of pain. Is a life of extreme pain. And the people that were close to him or decided to follow his way, the pain came with it. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, why should I follow Islam? What's it got for me? Like, what do I get if I follow this religion? Is my life going to get better? Are my problems going to get solved? Am I going to get a job? Am I going to get healthier?" Because, you know, people say like something like, "Man, I didn't used to pray, and then I had exam season coming, so I started making salah and stuff, and I made so much dua, and I stopped doing haram things, and I still failed. What's the point? Like, it didn't work." You know, because the whole idea is, if I turn to religion, it should do something for me. It should help me in some way. That's the whole point. Right? So, and this is actually what many other religions offer. You go to the temple and you go to some church or you go to some place of worship and you have some idol in front of you and you put some things in front of that idol and say, "I really need a new car." Or you put something in front of it and say, "Man, I really need this problem to go away. Can you help this problem go away?" Because the entire promise is that something in this life will get better if you turn to this religion. Right? And then people turn to saints and turn to idols and turn to other forms, objects, because they want their worldly problems to be solved. But Quran is painting a completely opposite picture. These people are turning to God, and everything used to be normal before they turned to Islam. And when they turn towards the Prophet ﷺ, their family hates them, they lost all their money, they're being tortured, they're being burnt alive. Like, their life turned to hell because they accepted Islam. So unlike any other religion where you could say, you know, you should accept his faith because things are going to work out for you. This is a true story. Many of you are familiar with Joel Osteen, and he's a very famous preacher, out in Houston. And I was curious about his popularity. I wanted to know, what message is he giving to people? And by the way, about the Bible, Allah Azza wa Jal, about the Bible and the Torah and the Injil, Allah does say that in it there is still some light and some guidance. Allah doesn't reject the previous revelations. So I wanted to see for myself what it's like when he preaches, and how do people take in what he's saying, what his sermon is like? And I actually, he was a couple of years ago, on Christmas Eve actually, he was coming to Dallas at the American Airlines Stadium. And I bought tickets and I went, and I sat up in the bleachers, and I observed the entire program for 3 hours. I watched the program. I wanted to see what they do, what goes on in there. And I kid you not, the entire time, his mom came, his mom said, I used to have cancer, the doctors told me I had just a year, and I said, Jesus, you're going to give me 15 years. And you know what? It's been 30 years. And everybody's clapping, and then he comes on, and he says, this problem got solved up. And then at the end of it all, the promise was, this year, God's going to help you with that divorce. He's going to help you with that lawsuit. You're going to get a new job. You're going to get that car. You're going to get that promotion. This is the year of the do. This is the year where things are going to work out for you, because, you know, you turn to Jesus, things will work out for you. They gave guarantees over the next 12 months, everybody's economic situation and health situation and cancer diagnosis is going to turn around. They gave these guarantees of this world for 3 hours. And people were like, yes, yes, it's all going to work out, because the promise isn't of anything but a better life here. A better life here. The Quran gives a very harsh reality check. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. We created the human being drowned in exhausting, painful labor. This life is exhausting, it's difficult. For some people it's financially exhausting, for other people it's mentally exhausting, for other people it's physically exhausting. There are different kinds of exhaustions. Sometimes your problems come from your own body. Sometimes problem comes from the people around you. Sometimes problem comes because from the weather. They come from all kinds of things. But this life isn't a luxury. And it's not suffering either. There are things Allah gave us in this life that can make this a good life. But the Quran's definition of a good life is very different from anybody else's definition of a good life. For everybody else, a good life means nobody's giving me a hard time, I have decent money in the bank, I have a car, I have a house, I have health. That's a good life. I got it made. You know, pretty close to the American dream. But the Quran's picture of a good life is, no matter what storms are happening around you and outside you, and no matter what people are doing, there's a calm inside you. You're content with Allah. And you know that whatever you're going through is going to come and go, but the only thing of value, the real treasure you have to protect, is actually your iman inside, your faith inside. And everything else can shake, money can come and money can go, job can come and job can go, people can come in your life and people can go. People you thought will never leave you will leave you. That's fine. And people that, you know, you depended on, Allah decides sometimes people are so connected to their family, their parent, their sibling, their daughter, their son, their spouse, and they die. And they die, and that breaks their heart. It's not an easy thing to cope with death. But you know what Allah does? Allah Azza wa Jal gives strength to the heart. And He allows you to pass through those tests. Because no matter what happens, what bad stuff happens outside, the inside is preserved if you turn to Allah. And if you could do that, then you've succeeded, then you have a good life. Then you've succeeded in this life. This is really, when we talk about the greatest successes in history, like take the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam, one of the most successful human beings that ever lived. How is it successful to be kicked out of your home? How is it successful to be homeless? How is it successful to be told you have to slaughter your son? Or you have to leave your family in the middle of a desert? How is it successful to be thrown into a giant fire? Right? That success isn't on the outside. If you look at this man's life, you know, you're like, he's what? What happened to him? He was thrown in a fire? He was kicked out of his house? He was almost killed by a mob? That doesn't look like a good story. You know, when you drive by somebody's home, they've got a beautiful mansion, you're like, wow, these people are so successful. But if you see a homeless person, you say, man, this guy's, you know, what happened to him? How did they fail at life? Right? Because our definition of success, it looks like certain things. And our definition of failure looks like certain things. Our messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, lived in a cave for a couple of years. In a cave. He tied rocks to his belly so the stomach wouldn't growl. If you saw another person living in a cave and they can't eat normal food, they're eating leaves, you wouldn't call that success. But our messenger is the greatest success of all, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.